Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. This is Thursday, October 23rd, 2014, and yes, I'm back. Oh, by the way, I'm Jeff Gamet. Can you tell this is the first podcast I've recorded since being off for a few days? Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm back, and I was out of town for a couple days because the North Coast Mac User Group was having their 30th anniversary event, and they invited me out to be their guest host, and that was really cool and a lot of fun. And so thanks to the North Coast Mug people for having me out. And I'm not alone. I have two people patiently waiting here, silently waiting, much to my surprise. Kelly Gumont and John Martellaro. How are you guys?
Good morning. Good, good. You were lucky to be in Santa Rosa in October. I'm jealous.
It was really nice. Mm-hmm. And I had nice weather the whole time I was out there. I got to do a lot of fun stuff. And the sad part, though, was that the drought is really taking its toll on all the plants out there. That it was kind of sad to see just how bad off that the area is. So, yeah. But it was still great and a lot of fun. But it's nice to be back.
Nice to have you back.
Yes.
Even if I can't manage to fully get through the introduction on my first day back without fumbling through something, but from what I understand, I'm probably doing better than some.
Very true.
Yeah, so there you go. The first thing that I thought we could dive into today is your review, John, of OS X Yosemite. You put a lot of work into it, and it's really great.
And glad you liked it.
I did like it. And when I tasked you with doing that, since I tasked myself with iOS 8, I was wondering if you'd be like, oh, crap, I can't believe how much he wrote. And then I saw yours, and I'm like, wow, you wrote a lot.
Well, I tried to write a readable piece that got to the essentials without being an instruction manual. You know, sometimes when you're doing a review, you can get bogged down in the nuances of what it's really doing. And that's not necessary because people who've experimented with it or are reading about it know certain things. So there's a temptation there to get too wordy and to go into too much detail about what people already know. So what I tried to focus on was my reaction to it as I played with it. I started with the very first developer beta, not the public beta, worked my way through all six developer betas and the three golden masters, and had lots of experience with it on my MacBook Air, and gave that presentation to a local users group back in August. So I felt pretty comfortable with Yosemite's state in terms of, you know, being a usable operating system. Never felt like it was flaky or was going to lose any data. And so, you know, what I focused on was some of the nuances of getting these new features, you know, working. And we had a sequencing problem. You know, we thought everything was going to be good. Back in July, we thought, you know, iOS 8 and Yosemite would come out at the same time and everything would be cool. And that didn't happen. And then so we got iOS 8 first to support the iPhone 6. And then we got Yosemite. But then there was some stuff that still wasn't working and we had to wait for 8.1. So I kind of leveled Apple on that one. Rightly so. So that was bad timing, bad planning on Apple's part. Unfortunate. But, you know, if you read the Mac Observer and stay up to date, you know, you kind of work your way through these things. So what I tried to do was kind of give an overall summary of how I felt about various features, the prospects for the features being signature features, things I think are going to be really cool in the long run, you know, like on the same terms with File Vault and Time Machine and Spotlight in the future, and making the phone calls from your Mac and doing SMS messages and being able to do AirDrop, I think are going to be signature features. So that was the nature of the review. It was, I think, pretty even-handed. I criticized Apple where they needed to be, gently nudged them, and talked about things that I thought were real winners. And it took off. It was very popular.
And I think it was a really well-done review. And when I say, wow, a lot of words, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I think you used exactly the number of words you needed to. And it was awesome.
It turned out to be about 3,800 words, which is about as much as you want to write in a review. Mm-hmm. Unless you're one of those fellows who likes to write, you know, 15,000 word essays.
Right. Okay. So now, with all your experience using Yosemite, who or why do you think someone should upgrade to this?
Well, first of all, a new version of OS X always has a lot of security fixes internal to it, the CVEs. And my motivation for upgrading is always based on that primarily, because when you look at the security fixes in a new operating system, you go, oh my goodness, I better do this. And then you weigh that against any issues that people have had with installation. But because there was a public beta, I think the installation at release went smoother than just about any other release I've heard about. I didn't hear anybody complain about lost data or a scrambled drive or apps that didn't launch or whatever. I mean, if you did a verify before and set your preferences and your disk was in good shape, from my reading, it was a very smooth install. So you get the security updates, you get these new features, you get very little risk of losing your data because, after all, you know, the fundamental Unix underneath has been around for 12 years or more, 13 years. So I think it was a very low risk proposition in many cases. And I really like the look of Yosemite. It just seems more mature, more low key. It doesn't have those garish colors like, you know, Windows XP and everything, saturated colors, the kind of cartoon look. Everything has that Jonathan Ive kind of tasteful look. And I talked about the transparency. The only way I could explain the transparency was in terms of glass. You know, when you've got a glass plant bowl, or you've got double old-fashioned glasses sitting on the shelf and the light shining off of them, you know, you get shades, you get transparency, you get reflections, you get light shining through, and it kind of creates a sense of warmth. And in a sense, that's basically skeuomorphism in itself, but kind of in a more subtle artistic way, where you have regions that show the background in it. I don't know the psychology or the science of it, but it just sort of brings out the warmth and the artistic value of the operating system, and you just kind of instantly have an affection for it. At least that's what happened to me. So that's all the reasons why you should upgrade.
Okay, now are there reasons why people should hold off?
Well, if you have mission-critical apps. If you're a school or you're an IT manager working with a small organization, you want to make sure that all your important apps are going to work, and you need to contact the developer and make sure you've read their blogs and check the compatibility. There's a site called Roaring Apps where it's crowdsourced and people contribute their experiences. One of the things that got me was that I scoured the ProSoft engineering site to see if there was any notes on Data Backup 3, and there weren't. So I went ahead and upgraded my Mac Pro, and then I talked to Jennifer Bell afterwards, and she said, oh, yes, we're not ready yet. Data Backup 3, 3.17 is not compatible with Yosemite, but an upgrade's coming soon. That was one of the rare examples. Everything else I've tried has been okay.
Yeah, I have not upgraded the machine that I'm using to record podcasts with, simply because I am so afraid that I'll be the guy that finds the one thing that completely breaks the entire workflow. But I am running it on my MacBook Air, and I trusted Yosemite enough that I installed the upgrade before flying out to California.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And made sure that I had all my updates
installed. It's a lot of trust.
Installed, mm-hmm. And then just closed the lid on my Mac and took off. And for everything that I needed to do, including when we were doing our fourth quarter Apple earnings report coverage on Monday. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was the first time I'd seriously used my Mac with the final release of Yosemite. And it was fine the whole time, except for one problem that I'm having, which is a crash that I get when I drag files or folders into an Open Finder window. I thought at first it was just Dropbox, but it's a Finder-wide issue for me.
Yeah, geez. Bob had some trouble with Dropbox. I have not.
Yeah, so
Bob-levitis.
And the problem I'm having, it seems to be fairly isolated, and I haven't figured out what it is yet. But there you go. So on the one computer that I'm running Yosemite right now, I'm overall very happy with it. And I'm actually looking forward to testing and making sure that it'll be okay with my recording workflow and then putting it on this machine too.
The first thing I did when iOS 8.0 came out was I called my mom on my MacBook Air with my iPhone in the other room. That was just an awesome experience. That was just crazy cool. And I think that's going to be one of the signature features. To have an iPhone sitting right next to your Mac and having to use the phone to make the call when you have all these resources in front of you, you know, why not? And you have a really nice microphone. Like I got this Yeti Blue sitting here, you know. So why not take advantage of all those resources on the Mac to make a phone call when you're sitting there? And I think that's a really nifty feature. I love it.
I think it's pretty cool too. Which actually, that makes for a great segue into why I wanted Kelly here today, besides your wonderful laugh, Kelly, which is so you wrote up a really cool thing about dialing from your Mac through your iPhone, and so enlighten everyone.
Well, there's a couple of things now that Yosemite is finally out, and all of the continuity and handoff that we were shown at WWDC this year is actually reality. You know, only a certain part of that was possible once we got iOS 8, because you could do neat stuff from iOS device to iOS device, but you still couldn't do anything fun with your Mac. Now you can, as John was mentioning, you can make phone calls with it. And one of the ways that you can make phone calls is you can use a utility called Continuity Keypad in order to dial a number from your Mac and make the call, which works well. It's a nice little app, but that's nowhere near as interesting as the other stuff that you can do, because a telephone number is actually nothing more, as far as Yosemite is concerned, it's just another style of URL scheme. And URL schemes are one of the ways that the operating system uses to, on both iOS and macOS, that uses to switch to another app effectively. So when you click on Open System Preferences, you know, in whatever app you're using, and then you click the button and it does open your system preferences, it's using a particular URL scheme in order to make that happen. So you can use TEL in order to do this. So if you feel adventurous, you can bust out the terminal and type open TEL:// phone number, hit return, and your computer will make the phone call for you. You can type the same thing into the address bar in Safari. And if you are so inclined, there is an Alfred workflow that you can use in order to do this, rather than dial somebody if you have the number, you know, because you need to know the number in order to use Continuity Keypad. You have to feed it a phone number. And instead of using contacts and going and clicking on the phone, which is effective but not near as much fun, this is one of the kind of nifty ways that you can show off all of the interoperability between your phone and your computer.
Kelly, that is truly geek snort worthy.
It really is.
That's wonderfully cool. And now I'm waiting for someone to write up scripts so that you can do all kinds of command line stuff with phone numbers. And it's not that you need to be able to do this, but it's really cool that you can.
No, it's that you can, which is why I started the clock when I published this yesterday on when we were going to get something nifty from Brett Terpstra, drink, about whatever cool thing that is that he's going to decide that you can do with phone numbers and then build one afternoon. Because he's Brett, that's what he does. I can't wait to see what he comes up with to maneuver with phone numbers. And I will point out that if you go look at the article I wrote about making calls in Yosemite, the links that are in the phone number, the links that are in the piece to the phone numbers are live, and they are actual phone numbers you can actually call.
Wow. Okay, that's awesome. And I will have links to that piece in the show notes, so they'll be there waiting for everyone.
Yay.
Awesome. Okay, well, we're pretty much out of time, and John, thank you for putting so much effort into your review. And Kelly, thank you for coming up with awesome tips about Yosemite.
Sure.
And everyone else, thanks for listening to the show. And if you want to hop over to iTunes, please do and rate the show for us, because I love getting your feedback.
Speaking of iTunes, I think I'm going to tackle iTunes 12 next.
I'm looking forward to seeing your review.
With a sock full of nickels? Oh, you're going to review it.